For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Angeles on the board.
Now, back to
Will and Divvy
on 95.7 The Game.
Kyren Williams. I've had it up to here with Kyren Williams already. This kid, what, he's been playing for 2 years?
Yeah, good little player.
Dude, he eats against the Niners.
And Adam Amin, great game,
yep.
But kind of blew the call there.
What do you mean?
That's not a somersault. That's a flip. Know the difference, my guy.
He got across to the audience what he was trying to say. Did he not?
Yes, but I watched it. And if you watch it, that's not a somersault. A somersault is when you tuck your chin on your chest and you roll over and your back hits the ground. That man flipped and he could have done a complete, like, 1.5 in pike position, full-on gainer.
One of your sons needs to have a baby. Because you are ready to be a grandpa. That's what my take is on what you just said.
I'm already a grandpa. I'm a grandpa daddy.
You're not a grandpa daddy because your kids don't have kids. But I know what my grandmama used to do if I ever said, hey, me and Jenny are going down the street to the store.
Unacceptable.
Instead of being like, here's some money or have fun or enjoy the fresh air, she'd go, I'm sorry. Who's going to the store?
Right.
And I would say, me and Jenny. I'm sorry. Who's going to the store?
Yeah.
And my blood's starting to boil. And then after about 12 tries, Jenny and I. All right, Grandma. Okay. So you're ready. You're ready to be a grandpa.
I'm not ready. What I am.
Not a somersault.
Is it? I'm a professional, and when I broadcasted, not quite at that level, but I've done professional sports, I would go back and look at the tape, and I would figure out and look at where I needed to be better. And if I'm Adam Amin, and I look back at the tape, I'm kicking myself for somersault, because that's a flip.
Adam Amin is on the line. He would like to know who you're picking tonight.
I'll give it out.
Okay.
I'll give it out here at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, no. You want to do it at 4?
I got two locks for you.
Yeah,
I think the first game's at 4:30.
4:30. 4:30 yeah. And 5:15 tonight.
And I'm, you know what? It's a Dibber bounce back Monday. Because I'm 4-4 in the year. And I'm not going to say yesterday was a bad beat. But I will say that watching that game for 3.5 quarters, I was thinking, you know what, Dibs? Good pick. That was a good pick. Niners are going to win this game by 10. Moody's going to make the kick.
I was so mad that you made the pick.
Moody makes the kick. The Rams don't find a way to score. Niners win 27-17.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can put it on the board, yes.
Nope.
But then when he misses the field goal, I'm thinking, oh, snap.
I'm excited that you have two games to pick tonight because that means we get to parlay the
Dibbers. You won't.
Oh, yes, I will. Jan in Mountain View on Willie and Dibby. Hi, Jan. Let it out.
Yes, thank you very much. This has really been bothering me. And, just like basketball, you win the quarter and you play to win the game. And you make adjustments as you go through the game. And the defense starts out real great, and they sack the quarterback once or twice. But what happens in the rest of the game? You know, the other team they got stronger as the game progressed, and here we are. We kind of play vanilla and don't get after Stafford or nothing. And here they are. They make a comeback and take the lead, and here we are when we think that we've got the game in our bag, and what happens? We lose, and here we are, 1-2, and it's disgusting as hell.
Well, yeah, Jan.
Thank you, Jan. Stay hot, Jan.
I don't think Jan's in the mood to laugh. I hope she feels better, though. She let it out. Disgusting as hell.
And I've never been to hell, but hell seems to me like it'd be pretty disgusting. And yeah, I looked at the win probability. Somebody put that on my Twitter, hashtag fade the Dibber.
Oh, the win probability?
Yeah, the Niners were like dancing at the 80 to 90%, 80 to 90, and then all of a sudden, shoop.
Yep, gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember, like remember the Eagles on Monday night were at 99.3%.
Right.
With a minute and a half to go in the game. And then they lost.
Yeah.
So... yeah, look, I mean, there's a lot to get to in this one. And we started with Nick Sorensen in the defense. The next one for me is the special teams. And again, that's all I can do right now is sort of compare it to the way the Giants have handled defensive athleticism. They've literally gone into the offseason 4 years in a row, and they're like, we got to get more athletic on defense. And then they come back, and they're like, look at these big, slow people that we signed. We got Jorge Soler. It's like, okay, what, will you please? And so I do feel that about special teams. I don't think that it has probably received the attention it deserves. And the scariest thing of all is the fact that you felt like a fake punt might be coming. So you set up for what might be a fake punt, and you still couldn't do anything about it.
Now, we were expecting a fake punt there, and they still got our edge.
That's to me, that's much more concerning than we got our butts surprised. That's way worse. If you're like, this is what we think's going to happen, let's plan for it, set for it, and then you still aren't able to stop them.
Right. For me, though, and beyond blaming the 11 people who were on the field, which you could look at who was on the field, and it's the punt return team, the punt coverage team. But if you see it as the head coach and you think that it might be coming, you either put your defense on the field or you call timeout, or I don't know, both. Because for me, hearing that from Kyle Shanahan makes my stomach turn a little bit. Yep. Because you see it coming, and I was thinking about it in terms of my life with a two-year-old, and you know, sometimes her thing now is to grab stuff off the counter. And so in the kitchen, I make sure that the knife that we use to prepare food, the super sharp butcher knife, I make sure that that's not within her reach.
Yes.
And that's like me looking at her as she's trying to grab stuff and thinking, oh, she's probably going to grab the knife. Well, hope she doesn't grab the knife. No, you move the knife. And if you think that they're going to run a fake, you call timeout, you put your defense on the field, and you make sure that if they run a fake, it's against Fred and Nick and all the fellas.
It would have been interesting. It would have been interesting. Here's Shanahan on all of the special teams issues in the game.
Today, that fake punt, you know, it's just the momentum in the game. That's where I thought we had a chance to run away with it, not give them any hope. And that gave them a lot of hope, got them back in it. And obviously would have loved to make that field goal. And then every punt return, I didn't really see it. They got to the left on our side. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but those were three big plays in the game.
I always wonder about that from a head coach's perspective when there's a big play and they're like, I didn't see it. Like, what? What do you mean you didn't see it? But like, I know there's stuff going on the sideline. I know you get blocked by things that are out there. Maybe he's saying I need to look at the film to see what happened. But I don't know. That question's not about like X's and O's. Like, don't give me a player's number who was out of position. That's a big picture question. What the hell is going on in that situation? Like, how on earth can that happen? And sort of like, and I get that this is right after the game, but it's like, in what way are you sort of feeling like you might address this? I will say that those who were on the scene at the press conference afterward came out feeling like Kyle Shanahan was very frustrated with the special teams coaching staff.
For sure.
Yeah.
And the special teams coach is Brian Schneider, who is considered one of the best in football. And he's been there now since March of 2022, so this is his third year, and they were better last year on punt coverage, for example. They were fifth in net punt yardage, and this year you're dead last. And I look at the punt coverage team, and you've got Malik Mustafa, who missed the tackle, and I give Kyle a pass for not being able to see it because you're down on the sideline, and you can't really see what's going on. You clearly see that the other team ran 35 yards down the sideline. I think that was on the Rams sideline.
Yep.
Is where that happened. So probably didn't even really get a good look at it, but something right now is broken with special teams across the board. You had a punt blocked.
Yep.
You missed a big field goal. You've had kickoff returns against, and your punt coverage is worst in football. So I'm not saying it's the coach's fault, but somewhere, either the personnel's not right or the attention to detail, something has to change.
We are wide open all afternoon for you. After a game like that, we're going to do this together. We're going to get back on the horse together. You'll feel better if you just let it out. So whatever it is that's frustrating you, we're right here for you. Those of you on hold, we're coming straight to you. Got a couple open spots if you want to get in. 888-957-9570. Let it out. You'll feel better. And if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Willard and Dibbs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. This is Willard and Dibbs.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Kyle Shanahan talks in about 10 minutes.
Look forward to that.
Yep.
Possibly.
No, probably.
Really?
Yeah, we'll see how it goes and stuff.
His face in that the fourth quarter, toward the end of the fourth quarter.
Oh, disgusted.
He looked sick to his stomach. Uh-huh. Like he ashen knows. And ill. What? Yeah. He knows, but also you're watching this all happen. A missed field goal, 55-yarder, no chippy, fine. And I mentioned before, it's a 73% or over 50 yards. I'm sure the 55-yarder is lower than that. That was not a gimme kick, but you know, you would have liked to have it be closer. You couldn't get there. And then the 50-yard bomb on top of your highest-paid corner, and then a drop from a guy who, deep down, you probably, if you're Kyle Shanahan, you don't want to play Ronnie Bell, but you don't have a lot of choice. I know you have some choice,
I mean,
but
I know that all of us decide that whoever's new and shiny and you drafted him, that's who should be playing. And this goes back to conversations we had about Trey Lance years ago. It's like, look, just because he's a rookie and you saw him do something in the preseason, there's probably a reason he's not on the field. So why did Jacob Cowing not play? I don't know. I would just suggest that if he's not ready, then don't gas everybody up on Thursday and Friday and say publicly, yeah, I think Jacob Cowing's going to have like some plays run for him. And then you go out there and you send who already feels like a journeyman, even though he's young too, you send him out there. You know he's not really, really like a talented NFL roster player. And he ends up with the opportunity of the day. And he drops the football. Brock Purdy had 8 incompletions, 6 drops. I mean, yes, part of the frustration today for you 49er fans, and I'll count myself among those, huge Brock Purdy fan, huge Brock Purdy admirer. He got robbed of what today's story should have been. Today's story should have been how Brock did all the things like that was it. That's the end of the story. That was the last chapter of the book. Oh, let's go see you go out there with all your fancy toys and let's see what you do then. Well, how'd he do? What was his QB rating yesterday? Buck 30 or something?
Yep.
And 6 of his 8 incompletions were drops, and Juwan Jennings making $7 million as a third/fourth receiver goes for almost 200 yards and 3 tutties like Jerry Rice. That's what we should be talking about today. But the other 2 facets of the game completely failed him. Completely failed him. And so everybody should be mad. Like everybody should be really mad.
I think everybody is mad.
Yeah.
And I know Pro Football Focus is not the end-all be-all, but I do think it gives you a look, a measurement of, you know, how an individual player does in an individual game. Yesterday on offense, Juwan Jennings, 90.5. Brock Purdy, 91.1. Oof. He was a 91.1, and nobody on defense was any higher than a 77, and that was Malik Collins. And I don't even want to get into some of the low numbers that were doled out, because they were deserved. And tomorrow we'll do Grandy's grades, and I know that the red pen was out, and I heard you, Grandy, yesterday on Overtime with Kyle and Sterling, and you guys were amazing breaking it down and doing it with just the right level of anger. I mean, not too much anger, but the C was angry yesterday. You guys did a great job.
His quarterback rating yesterday was 137.1.
That seems pretty good.
And he is now officially sort of on pace now for the exact same kind of a statistical year as he had last year. Remember our conversation? Our friend Kirk Morrison, who went on the morning show and said, we'd like to see some stats. We'd like to see the 49ers win because of Brock, not in spite of him. Well, I mean, like, again, the questions are all answered now. And so that's the only thing I want to say about Brock Purdy, because today's not a Brock Purdy day. He's one of the two or three people who should not be talked about today. But we actually should be talking about Brock. The other parts of the 49ers robbed him and robbed Juwan of center stage. And that's terrible. That's really unfortunate.
You said 8 incompletes and 6 drops.
That's accurate.
I
can think of the two actual incompletions too.
Well, I'm going through my notes now, and I think I found them.
It was Juwan when he stepped out early, and then came back in, and then it was the one where he went deep on a post to Ayuk and just like overthrew him by a yard.
Yeah,
and it was almost PI. Like, it was close. It was debatable.
Yeah.
Those are the two.
That's it.
That's it. That's your story for the day.
I mean,
there's your incomplete passes.
Right. And I mean, put aside that, and we'll go back to the phones in just a moment, but let's just close our eyes and imagine how far he ran on those scrambles. And he had 3 or 4 of them where, and those are like crazy video game, or it reminds me of when I used to teach elementary school and I'd play against the third graders. And it's like, oh, you know, you're juking a bunch of 8-year-olds, and you know, you're buying time, and the play is like 30 seconds long. That's what he looked like on those plays. It was like crazy.
Stephen Clay on a Warrior set, just switching, running, catch, shoot, boom. That's what he looked like. Yeah, man, he was fantastic. Frazier in Antioch here on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Frazier. Thanks for calling.
Afternoon, guys. Willard Dibbs. Yes. Very upset, more or less pissed off. That game had levels of, for us, excitement-wise, Super Bowl. And just for the air to come out of the building like that, we are totally disgusted. This guy, Brandon Staley, he's supposed to be an assistant to the DB coach. Why are these DBs not playing back enough? This is the second week in a row the top has got taken off. No one's back. This is Hufanga's first game back, and we still get beat over the top. It's just unacceptable. I mean, Ward looked like he was trying to swim back there, trying to catch the young guy at will. This is so frustrating, and it seems like everyone that's so far wearing that number 10 jersey is trash. It's just no way to cut it. Ronnie Bell is not a good wide receiver. We should have never kept him. He was dropping balls in the preseason last year, in the Super Bowl run last year. I have no idea why they kept this guy for a roster spot. He has no hands. You cannot even, like Stephen A. said, you couldn't put a tissue to this guy and he can touch him. This is just unacceptable. I would have just left him there. He wouldn't even got on the bus with us last night. That's how frustrating this guy had us. He had 3 drops that game. The pass to Juwan, they actually didn't call that a pass or incomplete pass because he was out of bounds and it was a illegal touch, so they didn't even call that.
Oh, good
that
point. Good point, pass. Frazier. You're right.
You know, but a few calls back with Guy Joe. I'm not blaming Cal for any of this. Cal was just as red as anyone on the field. I mean, you can't call these plays no better and have an inept of depth or aptitude to even play the play. As they see on that end play, when the guy came in from the edge, our guy wasn't even – he looked like he turned all the way around when that guy broke off with a fake play. And, I mean, he looked lost in his headlights. Same with the center from last season that cost us the Super Bowl. You getting told the plays, and you don't execute. I'm feeling like Antonio Pierce now. People are out there making business decisions. Brandon Ayuk, you had 11 targets. You catch 4 passes, guy. You got your money, and now we're seeing that the training camp did you no justice. Trent Williams also, you're getting called for holding passes, holding calls, and you're one of the top linemen in the game. Now you're getting called for holding calls. All you guys sitting out for all this extra money and all this stuff hurt our team. And now we have a special teams issue. Moody having a leg issue. I mean, Purdy can't do anything better than what he did yesterday. I mean, he played his tail off. I mean, that was MVP status yesterday. That was Mahomes status yesterday, what he was doing. He was in the pocket for 15 seconds, not even able to throw the ball because no one can detach from a guy. I mean, if we would have had Debo, maybe. McCaffrey, maybe. But everybody's making this big deal about the run game when Jordan Mason is averaging 100 yards a game, which McCaffrey would have done. I don't see a drop-off in that. So anyone that's blaming the run game and how we changed up, no. It's called flows and dictation of how the game is going. I'm so frustrated with hearing some of these callers call that don't understand football and how it's getting called. If I'm a coach on the sideline, I send a play into one of my guys and he don't execute, that makes me look bad, but yet it's an execution. I'm just frustrated with our team right now. There's no way we should be 1-2, losing to Sam Darnold and losing to Matt Stafford. No pressure on none of the quarterbacks whatsoever. I don't understand. I was better off with Wilkes being our defensive coach. At least through the first 5 weeks, we was, what, top 4-5 last year?
With no losses. Yeah, with no losses.
And here we are now. DB's getting beat. They're letting the top get taken off. We got guys that can't catch. We got a guy who got his money. He's not catching. His head ain't in the game. That focus was on them two wide receivers. Juwan Jennings played like a number one wide receiver, which he should get paid like one.
Frazier, thank you.
Great call, Frazier.
It's a phenomenal call. I had forgotten that Ronnie Bell was dropping balls throughout the preseason last year. He's absolutely right. And that is, look, that's an example of some of what I'm getting at. There's plenty of stuff with Kyle Shanahan yesterday that's worthwhile. It's worthy talking about. But if you want to get after him on something, why don't you get after the idea that Ronnie Bell's on the field? That's a worthwhile sort of position with regard to Kyle Shanahan. To me, it's not a worthwhile position to scream about play calling. Because you get mad at play calling when it doesn't work, and when it doesn't work because guys are having balls bounce off of all 10 fingers, how is that the play call? To me, that means the play call worked.
Right.
The play call worked, and the player dropped the ball. And you all could look something up for me. This is an underrated moment. Ronnie Bell's first drop. It was right at the first down marker.
Yeah, I have it right here.
When was it? What did the Niners end up doing on that drive?
I believe they wound up with a field goal.
Okay.
I have it at 2nd and 4 at the 32, and he dropped it. And that was right before the Purdy Superman scramble, where he did the Superman dive on 3rd down.
Okay.
And he got the 1st down. Unless I'm missing a drop in the first half.
No, yeah. Like, I think it was in the first half.
Oh, yeah, here it is.
Did they end up with a touchdown anyway?
He had a drop on a play where Trent held. That might be the one that Frazier's talking about. It was 1st and 10. Ronnie Bell with his first drop of the game. It was holding on Trent, which made it 1st and 20 anyway. So that drop actually came off the books. He's only credited with 2 drops in the game.
No. I'm talking about the other one.
That was the one on the 2nd down play, right? Okay. Before the end of the 3rd quarter.
I swear there was a first half right at the marker. Maybe even it was at least 2nd down. It might have been 3rd down. It was an absolute right in the breadbasket 1st down, and it just bounced off him and went to the ground. The drives chart gets all muddy in my brain, but I'll look back at it. Anyway.
I see an Ayuk drop on 3rd and 4
sure.
at the 40, which then they had to punt the very next play.
We're going to get to the wide receivers. We're going to get to the wide receivers.
Bell's targets were 1st quarter, 3rd quarter, and then the drop in the 4th quarter.
So the first quarter one. Is
that's when Trent held.
Okay.
So that one came off the books anyway, but that was on a 1st and 10 play.
So how's he credited with a 2nd drop if a penalty overtook it?
Well, that he actually had three drops, but that one doesn't count because there was holding on Trent.
So what's the other one that was counted? We all know the one at the end of the game.
It was on third in the third quarter, second and four at the 32. That was the one I think you're thinking.
And it came just before the Brock Purdy crazy scramble where he dove to get the first down on third and four. That drop led to the third and four.
Okay, and the drive ended up doing what?
Field goal.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's when they fizzled out. They had third and one, and they ran Mason into a 34-man front.
Yeah. Maurice in Sacramento is next up on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Maurice. Thank you for calling.
Hey, man. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
All right. I had a couple things. First thing I wanted to talk about was Bosa. It's getting weird how this guy has. I don't know. It's weird how he doesn't get any smoke. He's making $35 million a year, the highest paid player outside of any other quarterback. 122 guaranteed. And he is invisible in the fourth quarter. Invisible in the fourth quarter. We have a lot of smoke for Ayuk. We got a little bit for Trent Williams. Bosa is invisible. Don't tell me about sacks that happened in the first, second quarter. This man has not been a closer for us since the Browns game when Baker was drafted. That was the last time that dude actually closed a game. He's invisible in the playoffs. He's invisible in regular season games in the fourth quarter when you need him. And he's the one player out of all the positions. Receiver, I need the quarterback, I need the offensive line, I need the play call to go to me. All those things need to work. Bosa, you just got to beat your man. Don't tell me he's getting double because I was watching him. He wasn't getting double. He is on the green all game long. He has one move. He bull rushes. We're paying $35 million, $122 million guaranteed for that. It's ridiculous. Give me the Watt brothers over Bosa brothers right now. Because the other one's hurt, and it was an interview that happened, I think, last week or the week before. He basically praised Aaron Donald for getting his 10 years in and getting his money. That dude is – if there was a guy who wasn't a team guy – it's Bosa. He has showed you that time in and time out. You throw the defensive coordinator under the bus last year because you ain't getting to the quarterback. This year, what's your excuse? What's your excuse this year, man? Like, you need to get to the quarterback when it matters. Don't give me no second quarter sacks. When it's fourth quarter, give me sacks. And I'm sorry, Purdy was great yesterday. He was 9 out of 10. Stafford was a 10 out of 10 yesterday. Stafford had less working, and he was going up against a better defense. Purdy should have walked away with that game feeling really, really good about himself. But the defense just gave it up. One other thing I want to point to is Kyle Shanahan. In the press conference, you guys keep talking about, oh, we knew it was a special teams, and we didn't get anything done, and they still got our edge. To me, he's throwing the special teams coach under the bus. Kyle has... and I don't like to say this about men, but Kyle has a little bit of, he has a little bit of coward in him where he will throw guys under the bus to save himself. Case in point, last year when they fired Steve Wilkes, he had to do that on a Wednesday. I caught that. I used to work in PR. I caught that. You took heat that whole first week after you lost the Super Bowl, and the beginning of that second week, you threw him out there on a Wednesday like chum in an open sea full of sharks. You could have fired him on a Friday. It's something about Kyle where it's just he has that rich kid vibe where if you screw me, I'm gonna make you pay for it, and I am not gonna take any blame for it. I'm gonna make sure I pass this off to somebody else. But those are just the two things. Bosa and Kyle, to me, it's a lot of things attitude wise that they embody that's wrong with this team. But yeah, that's all I got to say, guys.
Maurice, that's a hell of a call. Thank you, Maurice, very much.
And I appreciate you showing restraint when referring to Kyle, because you and I looked at each other like,
I'm like, what the word going to be? And it, what's the word going to be?
There's a couple five-letter words.
What's he going to say?
There's a couple of those five letters that I thought were coming.
And then he went coward.
You got to be careful.
Coward's like, a six-letter.
Okay.
And I appreciate his restraint. Yeah. And he's not wrong about Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa has two sacks on the year, and his point was fourth quarter. And he's right. In the fourth quarter, the defensive line
looked gassed.
They looked gassed. They looked like a ballroom dancing class. They were dancing with the offensive linemen.
And you pointed out that Nick Bosa did not take a snap off in this game.
Right.
It was, and I wonder why, because that's not normal. That's not the typical way that they use Nick Bosa. Now, the other thing about Kyle Shanahan, listen, I'm going to let everything that he's just said, I'm going to let that sit there for y'all to marinate in and think about. I don't think that his comment was throwing the special teams coach under the bus, though. I think that he's calling out the players. And I will say this, it's hard for a head coach to do that and not have that resonate in a negative way in the locker room. So the reason I say that is when he says, oh, we felt it coming and they got our edge anyway, that's simply saying you're not executing. Now, players can handle that to a degree. They can handle that to a degree, but you only get a few of those before they're going to feel like they're getting sold out.
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
Kyle Shanahan is on his conference call with the media right now. You'll hear it coming up in a little bit here on Willard and Dibbs. But the big news so far, Kyle Shanahan has said that Javon Hargrave has partially torn his triceps and will be out for the season. There is a chance he could return for the postseason. But his regular season is over.
Javon Hargrave, out for the year.
Torn triceps, yeah. Out for the year, and that's...
There was concern about this after the game yesterday. Kyle kind of threw some water on it by saying that he goes, I don't know, but the initial sort of response that we're getting is it doesn't sound like it's a huge deal. Obviously, it is a huge deal. And while Hargrave has been disappointing for the 49ers, that doesn't make it any less of a problem that you now have a gaping hole right in the middle of your defensive line, which was already struggling.
Right. And, you know, Malik Collins, who was really pretty good yesterday, one of the better defenders, now he's going to have to shoulder more of the load going forward. And you also are going to have to look at, you know, adding some bodies in there. And I'm just looking at other things that are coming out from the presser. David Lombardi, friend of the program, says Brock Purdy has back soreness. He's day-to-day. Now, I wouldn't anticipate that, back soreness is, you know, Monday after a Sunday game. I get it. Nothing really too alarming from that tweet. But the Javon Hargrave one?
I don't know that I agree with you on that. Because NFL players, look, there's nobody on the Niners that's not sore.
Sure.
The Rams are all sore. If they're reporting it, like, that's just the way I process NFL injuries. If you tell me about it, I'm going to assume it hurts like hell.
Right.
I'm going to assume it hurts like hell.
What's not in the tweet is what I perceive is the fact that he had to carry the whole team on his back, which is why he has back soreness. Anyway, and other Niner reporters are now echoing the same thing. We'll hear more from Kyle Shanahan coming up, but the big news, Javon Hargrave, torn triceps, and we'll get Doc Pandia's thoughts on that tomorrow at 4 o'clock, cleared to play, but it doesn't sound like that will be cleared to play at all with a torn tri.
Yeah, there's really not a whole lot to talk about. He's gone. The question is not, how's Javon? The question is now, who's playing his position? And D. Winters also comes out with an ankle injury. I don't know about his availability because I really would love to see him play a lot more.
He played seven snaps yesterday. I would love to see...
Play more, because Devondre Campbell has been a problem.
Right.
So I would love to see a lot more of D. Winters, but he's got an ankle injury now.
Man, now you look at a defensive line, and we all talked about it today throughout the course of this day here on this radio station, and the D-line wasn't good enough yesterday, and we all have been questioning Javon Hargrave, and well, maybe that's why. And so now it doesn't even matter why he was mostly ineffective, because now he's not going to be able to play football for a long time.
Well, to me, no celebrating injuries ever. There could be a silver lining here, which is sort of conceptual. Hargrave was known, as far as defensive tackles, as a much better pass rusher than a run stopper. I would argue the Niners need a run stopper. I don't know if there's a high-level one out there. I don't know about the guys on the bench. We're going to see them step up, or you're going to see the 49ers try to make an acquisition on the market. You know, like, is DJ Jones still in Denver? Is he still in Denver? Call those chumps. They're going nowhere. Get DJ Jones back here, because he was a phenomenal run stopper.
Right.
And right now the Niners can't stop the run. I don't want any more Kyren Williams up the middle for seven. For second and three. I don't want any more of that. It's the whole key to defense. Second and eight, not second and four. It's the whole key to defense.
ESPN had mentioned the Bengals as a possible landing spot if the Broncos had traded DJ Jones. This is a report from a day ago. So if DJ Jones is at all available,
Let's go. Get him.
You've seen him as a guy who can go up there and eat up a couple of run blockers.
All right,
really quick before we head out to a break, Shanahan has also said that Christian McCaffrey is headed to Germany to get his Achilles looked at.
I mean,
as well.
Well, that means he's getting the PRP.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what that means.
Yeah.
Man, the platelet rich plasma therapy
injection.
Oh,
he's going to need a needle.
He's going to be there for a while. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We got a lot to talk about, okay? So let it out. Those of you on hold, here we come. 888-957-9570. We're also 20 minutes away from Fade the Dibbers times two. Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Kyle Shanahan is still in the process of talking. We will play it in its entirety in 20 minutes. Okay, between now and then, it's all you, except for when we dive out for about a minute so Dibs can make you money by making bad picks on both Monday night games. That's coming up.
It's coming up. I wish I could refute it, but your boys are running cold. I'm 4-4, coming off a bad loss yesterday.
Yeah, bad beat.
Stop picking the Niners, everybody, okay?
Appreciate it. Like, hello. Anyway.
My other pick was the under, which also would have lost, if that makes you feel any better.
Lord. It does, actually.
Okay.
And then, if you're just joining us, Javon Hargrave is out for the year. Because of a partially torn tricep. Brock Purdy, back soreness, D. Winters, an ankle injury. There's your updated injury report, and we are still working through yesterday, which was horrible defensively, both schematically and in terms of personnel. Special teams continues to seemingly not get the look that it needs. And then let me just throw this real quick into the conversation as we go to the calls. I'm in the process of drafting a tweet. You ready to hear it before I send it?
Go ahead.
All right, here it is. Brandon Ayuk has almost as many drops as catches. Debo is hurt. Hill and Waddle have been rendered useless. CD has 13 total catches and hasn't gone for 100 yet, but does have a fumble. AJ Brown and Devontae Smith are both hurt. Meanwhile, Jamar Chase is busy cratering his team's season. If you paid your wide receiver big money, you screwed up.
Well, and think about how much money in total, if all those contracts come to fruition, like the total money that was spent on wide receivers and just the guys you mentioned right there, it's almost $1 billion. And right now your ROI, your return on investment, Justin Jefferson. And like, Amon Ross St. Brown.
Like, there are exceptions. I understand sometimes when someone is so key to what you do that you're like, well, if that's the going rate, I guess we'll do it. Like, Amon Ra is the, if not, like, I mean, he's a, if not the key to their offense. Same with Justin Jefferson in Minnesota. But let's look around at who's doing well. Okay, sure, the Vikings are 3-0, though Jefferson has been a little in and out of the lineup as it's happened. Seattle is 3-0. they paid DK, but that's not necessarily, I mean, he had just like Justin, he had one really, really wonderful long play yesterday.
The speed on DK Metcalf. That's great. You forget how fast he is.
Right? New Orleans off to this great start. Who's their wide receiver? Pittsburgh's 3-0. They spent all offseason screaming about how they don't even have wide receivers. And oh yeah, I forgot. The team that wins the Super Bowl every year is also 3-0, paying no receivers. They were the first trendsetters to send their receiver out of town when he wanted 30 mil. Everyone called him crazy and they haven't lost the Super Bowl since.
Right. So maybe this is where the market gets reset, because everybody talks about how, oh, you don't need a running back and the running back is going the way of the dodo bird. And then you watch Baltimore yesterday with Derrick Henry and suddenly looks like they've kind of figured out how to use him, and Baltimore in a must-win situation, maybe. They kind of have finally figured it out.
Another team that's not paying wide receivers.
Exactly.
Another team that's not paying. And I know that they're 1-2, but a very quality run organization that has won repeatedly, won a lot of games.
A 2-0 team coming up here in 40 minutes that sent their wide receiver out as well, Buffalo.
Yes, and I know the Chargers lost Justin Herbert yesterday, but Jim Harbaugh comes in. They get off to a 2-0 start. And what was his clear design as he arrived? Get rid of both of your high-priced receivers. We'll draft some people and whatever. Grab some running backs off the scrap heap and we'll go 2-0. So, listen, this is not a catch-all, but I was out on it then and I remain out on it now. This was a bad contract by the San Francisco 49ers.
And right now, that's not the least of their worries, but it's further down the list of their worries, because Javon Hargrave now is added to the list of wounded 49ers, and he probably won't play again this year.
Yep. Out for they said maybe by playoffs, and I think you have to get there first for that to even matter, and you're 1-2. Edgar in San Antonio on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Edgar, thank you for calling.
Hey, how you doing, Willard? How you doing, Dibs?
We're hanging in there, Edgar.
We're good, brother.
Well, I just wanted to, man, that's bad news about Hargrave, man. That hurts a little bit. But I just wanted to just talk about how impressed I was with Purdy. What's interesting is that a lot of people said, well, you know, including 49er fans, well, I want to see Purdy and see how he's going to do with no receivers, or if he doesn't have Deebo, or if he doesn't have Trent, or if he doesn't have, you know, whoever. And I was so impressed by him yesterday. He stepped up. He actually looked like a quarterback that we can keep for years to come. I don't know about you, but that's how I felt. He was dropping dime after dime. When the pass rush was coming, you saw what he was doing. The way I see it, guys, is like this. Surround Purdy with what he needs to be successful. Give the man an offensive line. Give him some receivers that are going to get open, that are going to beat press coverage. That's what we need. That's what we need. And for the defense, I know that we need a lot of help on defense and special teams, but right with anything that Shanahan should be thinking about, he should be thinking about surrounding Purdy with the weapons that he needs, beginning with the offensive line. You saw what it would look like if the man has time to throw the ball. A lot of stuff can open up downfield. He can throw the ball 30-plus yards down the field. The intermediate, the layered throws, he can make it work, guys. All I'm asking for Kyle to do is just, you know, just kind of get out of his way a little bit and make sure that his franchise quarterback is successful.
Edgar, thanks, man. Appreciate it so much. You know, that whole idea, surround Purdy with what he needs to be successful, sort of changes a little bit. I mean, we spent so much time this all. Oh, gosh, you can't get rid of either of his receivers. Edgar's right. Like, this whole idea of the window is closing, I've been trying to make this point. No, the window is opening. You're about to have a franchise quarterback for a long time. He's 24 years old. What's the first thing he needs? Phenomenal play on the offensive line. And the offensive line is getting a lot of heat today. They, like Jordan Mason, is getting holes. They're good against the run. They've not been great against the pass. They've not been great in pass blocking. And that's a problem. Brock Purdy now has back soreness after three games. Just let that hopefully be the warning shot. But yes, I agree. He needs a wonderful pass-blocking offensive line, and he will make plays for the next decade.
Right, and if it is with Juwan Jennings, and you don't have Debo, and Brandon didn't do a ton yesterday, and so you hope that Cowing, if he eventually gets a chance to play football for this team, and Ricky Pearsall, when he gets healthy, yeah, the window can stay open if you have a quarterback who looks to be as good as this quarterback looks to be. And Brock Purdy had a great game yesterday. It wasn't good enough, not because of Brock Purdy, but because of the defense, which was porous yesterday.
Let's keep moving here. 888-957-9572. Coach Duran in Union City. What's up, Coach?
Hey, we're living Dibs, my two guys. What's up, fellas?
Come on, Coach. Bring it now.
Man, yesterday's game, I watched the full Niner-Rams game. Niners choked. The Reggie Miller to Spike Lee. Oh, man. They are going to look back in a couple of weeks and really regret that game. It's just like the Baltimore Ravens with the Raiders. A three-point win is a three-point win. Niners should have got that win. Moody would have had that field goal. They would have went to overtime. But it happens. Rams make a comeback, and the Rams did a good job.
Coach, thank you very much. I mean, we were talking last week about the anatomy of the word choke. And, I always sort of – we use it now like every single time that something doesn't –
a lead is blown.
Right. Anything that's blown, it was a choke. Again, to me, choking is when you're sort of overwhelmed emotionally by the moment. Did Ronnie Bell choke? Did the special teams collectively choke? I don't know. They were just awful. I don't care if they were emotionally overwhelmed by the moment or not. Their execution is off, and there's not a lot of time to fix it.
No.
This is the easy portion of the schedule.
It should be, but it's getting harder now when you've got these injuries and you don't have McCaffrey or Debo. We don't know if George Kittle is going to be able to go next Sunday when you take on a New England team that's going to have more rest than you have. So you don't know who's going to be on the field. Javon Hargrave won't be with a torn triceps. And I was just looking at the quick WebMD, and it was saying 6 months is usually if you have a complete tear of the triceps. And that's obviously not applying to pro football players. But October, I think that puts you about March with the torn triceps.
All right,
I think so the Super Bowl is in February.
You're ready
so
for the game in March.
Yeah.
Have we gone to the 25-game schedule yet?
Unfortunately, not quite yet.
That's too bad.
The word choke is it's a trigger for so many people, but if you look at the last 13 plays of the game yesterday, there were five plays where if you don't want to use the word choke, you can use whatever word you want, but you made horrific plays offensively, defensively, on special teams over the last 13 plays of that game. You blew it five different times.
I agree with you. Like, I'm not going to be bothered by any word you want to use. It was absolutely brutal. Just an absolutely brutal performance. That's going to have a fallout, I believe. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.